1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the Scottish Cup makes way for European action. Dundee were the final team through to set up a fairly straightforward draw, including Celtic against Raith and Rangers taking on Queen's Park. All about the Champions League now for Brendan Rodgers, who wants to prove they belong at this level. Philippe Clement's side head to Manchester tomorrow to take on United's worst ever team. That's according to their own manager. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel. What a week we have in store.
Yeah, another big week of football, especially in Europe. All starts tomorrow at Celtic Park. Celtic going to this game firm favourites. You'd expect them to get the result and get the job done, Gordon. You know, the form that they're in, obviously young boys, they're well out at it anyway, can't win a game, concede so many goals. But it'll be all about how Celtic handle it tomorrow night. And then on Thursday night, I know lots of Rangers fans heading down to Manchester. What a game in store. Manchester United manager didn't give them a vote of confidence at the weekend, which would go well for Rangers, but it'll always be a difficult game. And obviously the draw for the Scottish Cup after the derby last night, Dundee derby, which was an exciting game. I didn't think it was going to be settled with one goal, but it had plenty of excitement in it.
A few long throw-ins.
Yeah, exactly. But it's all about getting through and Dundee getting a bit of revenge on their old rivals from last week. So looking at the draw, and my old team go to Celtic Park against the favourites.
It's a copy of the 1994 Cup
winner. I'm surprised you've reminded him of that. I'm 4 minutes past.
Well,
six.
I'm just bringing up because I know he's going to.
I've got the notes down there. Yeah. We've got 2 hours of that cup.
I like to start the show on a more positive note, but is it one of the dullest Scottish Cup draws of all time? You're looking for just a little bit of jeopardy. You know, Celtic or Rangers, can one of them at least be away from home? They've both got opposition from a tier below. We already said going into the draw last night, it's the first time in about 12 years that there's been no proper lower tier teams left in the draw.
Yeah, there's only Cove in there, really.
There's a couple of ties, and I'll polish it up when we get there. Of course, we'll look for the positives. That might be the pick of the bunch, is it? Scott Brown.
No, I don't think it is. I think that the pick of the bunch in that tie is St Mirren Hearts.
Yeah, old Premiership tie.
And what a game that could be. I think that obviously Air United and Hibs, of course, because of the Scott Brown scenario, that will always be there. The rest of it looks like it could take care of itself. Most of the Premier League clubs are at home. I was looking for a bit more excitement, but the home team will not complain whatsoever.
There wasn't really any upsets.
That's what sets this up, I suppose. Yeah. A big week coming up, though, in Europe, Simon.
Massive. Obviously, tomorrow night, Celtic have got a fantastic chance of making that big step into the knockout stages. They've set themselves up nicely. Young boys, as Daz says, though, it needs another Leipzig-type performance. Regardless of where young boys are, regardless of where they are in the Champions League, it's still a game where Celtic will need to go and perform a big performance on the night, and I'm sure they'll get it. I think the fans will be right up for this one. It's the biggest game of the season out with the cup final, so they've got themselves into a great position there. And then obviously the following night, as Daz says, many Rangers fans will be travelling to Manchester for a big night, and I think they might have a chance as well, because I've watched United's last two games at home where the onus is on them to take it to the opposition and they've been poor.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. What did you make of the Scottish Cup draw? If there's anything that jumps out, Celtic fans, Simon Donnelly says it's the biggest game of the season, maybe out with the cup final. Do you agree with that? Is it a season defining game? How are you feeling ahead of it? Give us all your thoughts on Celtic's chances, your form going into it, what team you would pick. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers talking about wanting to belong at this level. Talking Callum McGregor, doesn't want to be the team that keeps getting to a stage and then failing in European competition. So all your thoughts please, Celtic fans. Just how big a game is this? Is it season defining? And how optimistic or otherwise are you? 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, the Manchester United manager says it's maybe the worst Man United team in history. It's quite a strange build up to the game. What do you make of that? How much confidence does that give you? Because surely then, if he's right, and he should know, then you're never going to get a better chance to beat a club of that size, a name of that size, the reputation. Or do you think it's a bit of mind games? Is it still a fixture that gives you the fear heading down there? What do you think? The worst Man United team in history, the manager says. Do you agree with that? Can you go down there and get something? Let us know right now, please. I'd be very keen to hear from you Motherwell fans. £2.5 million bid rejected from Udinese for Lennon Miller. Is it enough? What's the right price? What is the right price? What would you let him go for? I think it's clearly inevitable that teams will want him, and you've probably all made your peace that he'll leave at some point. So what is the right price? Is 2.5 enough? The club don't think so. What number would you put on it in this window? Because now we've got concrete bids. We've spent months speculating about Lennon Miller and wondering what the future holds. We now know there are Serie A clubs who want to pay millions of pounds. How many millions is it going to take though? Give us a shout on any of those topics and anything else at all. 0141 951 1025. From the most basic way of looking at things, Gordon, the new European format's great because even if our teams don't do well, you still get European football in January. Sometimes it's over by this point, but we've got two big games left for Celtic, two big games for Rangers. Bring them on.
Yeah, and I think the fans will be seeing the same. I think if we get a good week for Celtic and Rangers, and it's, well, I've already put Celtic down as a banker, unless something drastically goes wrong at Celtic Park tomorrow night, Celtic will probably go on and win that, and I think they'll win it comfortably, especially at home, especially with the atmosphere, especially with the players that they've got and the way that they can play and score goals. And then you look at Rangers, not a better time. And sometimes that's a bit of a worry because everybody goes, well, if you ever want to play Manchester United, it's now the way they're going about their business, everything about them. The, even at Old Trafford, the teams come in there and very comfortable against them, which never happened in the past. So Rangers will, especially with their European form, they will fancy that big time, Gordon. So it could be a good week for both Celtic and Rangers, from my opinion.
Do you agree with them, Rangers fans? Do you fancy it the big time in light of the comments made from the Manchester United manager, maybe the worst Man United team in history? Do you buy that? How confident or otherwise are you heading down there? Because the team will train in Glasgow tomorrow. They'll head down, and on tomorrow night's show, we'll be down there in Manchester hearing from Philippe Clement. So let's bring in Stephen first though on Celtic, because they are first up tomorrow night. Stephen, how are you feeling? Is it a season defining game the way Simon thinks it could be?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah, listen, looking really forward. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I know last couple of weeks there's been a couple of questions, you know, certain games and stuff, but I think with Europe, the way it's been this season has been fantastic. I think I fully expect, because I'll be going there tomorrow night with my son and a few of my friends, and I fully expect Celtic to put Young Boys to the sword. You know, I would accept any way to get the 3 points, but I just have a feeling that we're going to be on fire tomorrow. The atmosphere will be electric. You know, and I think for a lot of fans for a long time, you know, there's not been many times in Europe we've been there to witness a progression into the next round, and that's what we asked for last season. We asked for the team to come and give us progression, and I feel as if they've done that, and I think tomorrow will be the culmination, and it sets us up perfectly for Villa, you know.
That word that Stephen mentions, progression, we have spoken about Celtic progression in Europe for years. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers' first spell, Ange Postecoglou, Brendan Rodgers returning added a bit to that, didn't it? Because it was meant to be a real cornerstone of the whole thought of bringing him back, because he wasn't coming back to only win the same domestic trophies stuff that they had won before. Celtic will probably win the league again. They're odds on. They've done it numerous times, and I'm not saying you take that stuff for granted, but does that all amount to this being so important, Simon?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. That's why I say it's probably the biggest game out with the cup final of the season, because they've worked so hard to get to this position. I think you'll be able to feel that in the stadium tomorrow. The domestic stuff, Celtic have been great in recent times, winning most trophies. Brendan Rodgers came back. He made the promise that he'd be back there in May with the league title, which they've seen through. But he also made a comment that he wanted to see the progression with the team in Europe. And, you know, you don't get complacent with winning domestic trophies. But if you ask the Celtic fans out there, that extra bit of excitement, that extra little bit, you know, that's where they want to see the club. They want to get into this playoff badly. And, you know, they fell short on numerous occasions. They've put themselves in a really good position to go and get it.
Thought, Gordon, I suppose the definition of a big game is that the rewards when it goes well are huge, but the criticism if it goes wrong would be huge as well. Of course Celtic would have the chance to make up for it when they go to Villa Park, but in many ways in this position, if you don't qualify from this position, it almost like casts into doubt everything that's you know gone on in the season up until that point. So that's why it feels massive, this game, maybe the Villa game as well, but clearly this is the best chance.
It's massive because they've put themselves in such a position that they're firm favourites to go on and win this game and win it comfortably. I don't think Celtic fans, I know they will take it in a minute, go along there and look to say, right, we'll beat Young Boys 1-0 and we'll take the 3 points and qualify into the next stages. That'd be brilliant. I just think the way Celtic are, especially in Europe as well, especially at home, against probably the weakest side in this league, without a shadow of a doubt, I just don't see any slip-ups, Gordon. I think Celtic will go on and win this very comfortably.
You do sound pretty confident, Stephen. You said that you think they'll put Young Boys to the sword. Is that a strange feeling in many ways, though, going into a big Champions League game, you know, as such favourites in a team, against a team that has had a really poor run? Can that come back to bite you sometimes?
Listen, I think, you know, every team can be complacent and think that they're going to win every match. I think on this occasion, Celtic this year in the Champions League have been really, really strong. The home games were really, really, they were strong. And to be fair, last season, when I was at those games as well, they were really, really strong. I think we can go into it with a confidence. You know, not to the point where we're going to win 10-0, but listen, I suppose in any one-off game, a team can beat another team, you know. But I think when you look at where the team standings are, the fact that it's Celtic Park and the fact that Young Boys have had a terrible campaign, you know, I'm not saying on that we've been overconfident. I would expect us to win that game. I would be really surprised if we never won it comfortably. But like Gordon, as I said, I would take any victory. But, you know, I think we're getting in for a long time. It's been a long time since we've been able to get in and expect to get a big victory, you know. And I think it will come tomorrow, genuinely. I do think we'll get it.
Hearing from Brendan Rodgers today, though, Simon, I'm sure he's very keen, as you would be, to get that message across that, yes, Young Boys have had a really bad Champions League, but you can't just start taking any team for granted, surely. You know, they're still the Swiss champions. Even if you wanted to, I don't know, law of averages, they've lost six. Is it beyond realms of possibility that they're capable of rocking up and getting a draw?
It's the Champions League, and that's why I said at the start it will take another performance like Leipzig. People kind of scoffed at the Bratislava game, but they had to go out and play well against whoever's there. It's a similar intensity that they have to bring to the game tomorrow night. They'll get the backing of the fans because it's, as I say, they're craving this get through to the knockouts. This is where the club want to go to the next stage, and I think it will be rocking Celtic Park, and I think the players will respond to that tomorrow. But they have to be at their best. They can't go out there and think, well, it's Young Boys, and they won't, because Brendan Rodgers won't allow them. I mean, it's sometimes the fans that dismiss it. It's Young Boys, you know, they've not got any points. Celtic, if they're on their game tomorrow, which I'm sure they will be, they'll get over the line.
We've always spoke about the 10 points, Gordon. I know you struggle with your percentages. We deal with that and beat the pundit.
No, I know the percentages.
Even you will grasp the fact that they're on 9. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a draw does it, but when you get the feeling Brendan Rodgers listening to Stephen on the line, they're going to want to sort of stumble, draw the game, wait and see. It might be fine when it's all said and done, but they're going to want the foot to the floor, like, tomorrow, are they not?
I buy into all this. You've got to be professional. I buy into you don't underestimate anybody, Swiss champions. They played six games, they can't win a game. They're losing goals left, right and centre. They're all over the place, Gordon. They're coming to Celtic Park. I don't think for 1 minute you'd imagine they're going to win there. I think Celtic, as much as, you know, even a draw would put them there with Aston Villa game coming up or whatever, but I think Celtic would be disappointed with that. I really do. They've got the best chance in the world. If Celtic go and play to their capabilities tomorrow, they will win this game comfortably.
I think you have to guard against that, Simon. People just say it. You know, there's no tough team. There's no easy teams in the Champions
League. That's why I'm saying it. I know where he's coming from, because we do feel...
If you're going to get offered the chance for a home game against a team bottom...
Oh, you're taking it.
You need to take it.
You're taking it. And that's what they've done to get to this position. And they've got their strongest team. They've got their, they've got no major injuries.
Only James Forrest unavailable. Yeah. Thank you, Stephen. Andy, how big, Andy? Every game's big, and we always talk about that. How big's this one? How would you sum it up?
Gordon, you said at the start of the show there, it's the biggest game of the season. I think you said, for me, it's basically the biggest game for possibly 10 years. And I know that sounds an exaggeration, but if you look at the European runs over the, I've not looked in it, but I think only 2019-20 season when we qualified through the UEFA Cup group, and then you put in the last 32. It's the closest we've been to sort of a knockout phase. So I know it's a new setup and stuff like that, and it might be a wee bit different, but getting to the knockout phase means so much for the club. And I do believe also that if we get through in the last 10 days of the transfer market, getting through in the Champions League could make a difference in how much we spend and who we bring in, sort of thing. So I believe it's the biggest game for a long, long time. And I also believe that it's been on the horizon for a number of people at the club. And maybe, I know they always say one game at a time, but it might have impacted on the way we've been doing things recently. So I do believe we'll take care of it tomorrow night, but it's a massive, massive game.
Is it the financial reward that's the most appealing, Andy? Or is it the sort of status thing, that, or, you know, progression, being a team that can get to these stages of competitions?
No, for me, the financial thing, I think the club are in a good footing in that regard. However, if you look at Celtic's record in Europe, it doesn't make good reading. And I think we're a team that, if you look from afar, you wouldn't expect us to represent. And I do believe the manager coming back, he did all his eggs in his basket for getting through any playoff situations for Europe, and it means a lot to him. I'll ask, something's just occurred to me there, Gordon, if I can ask the two ex-players. Because I was at the game on Sunday, right, and I've been on the programme before and talked nonsense, so you'll not expect any different, right? But I'm asking Simon and Gordon a question, right? Have they ever been involved with a team where they've set up during a competitive game with the next game in mind? I'll tell you, it was on my thoughts here, right? It's a wee bit of a change of direction, but I felt as if Celtic sat in on Sunday against Kilmarnock. We didn't engage with them higher up the park than we'd done before, and actually we went much more direct. What we noticed was Kyogo was coming in and getting the wide players in, he was dropping into space, and it was very much counter-attacking against Kilmarnock. And I wondered whether or not the guys have been in a situation where the manager said, next 15 minutes, let's sit in and see what we can do, because that's what we might need to do this on Wednesday night. But no, to answer your question, the finance isn't the most important, it's the status.
It's a great question. I just know you too well. You're never going to remember. So talk to us specifically about, you know, do you think Celtic did do that? Do you think Celtic had anything in mind?
I don't think they would practice a style of play
during a game.
No,
absolutely no
chance. What I will say is, Looking at the team, I think that team mm-hmm. looks pretty. That won't be far off what starts tomorrow night, in my opinion.
I don't think Celtic tomorrow night will sit. Look, easily.
You probably have to sit off the game a bit more at times, maybe. And yeah, I think Callum McGregor said it today. You've just got to accept that it's still the Champions League and the team will still have a spell.
Yeah, but I think for the first 10, 15 minutes, the Celtic will be in the front foot, go right after them. I really do. Now, where Celtic are quite good and they've got the experience, if that's not working and young boys are just putting everybody behind the ball and they're finding it difficult to break them down, Celtic are well capable of maybe dropping off the game, allowing them a little bit possession, allow them to come out, and then when they win the ball, they hit them with the pace and the counter-attack and punish them. So Celtic, they've got clever players and their manager will have prepared for everything. But early on, from the first whistle to 10, 15 minutes, especially with the crowd, especially with the atmosphere, I feel Celtic will be right at them.
I think to answer Andy's, or one of the points that he made there, I think that will be the team that starts, in my opinion. I think he's started with that team. Whether that's showing a bit of respect because it's Kilmarnock at home in the Scottish Cup, they want to defend that, but maybe with a look at the game on the Wednesday.
Thank you to Andy. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, who wants his players and the fans to feel the history as they aim to emulate Celtic sides of years gone by and reach latter stages of European competition.
You know, many teams will tell you about the stadiums and that special atmosphere, but this really is a stadium that is iconic with the atmosphere. It's hard to analyse that and look at that, but it's just how it feels. I think there's a night game here in the Champions League gives us a real connection with the past and the great story that this club has with this competition and many years ago, and it's what the culture and the history of this club has been set on. The club that won the European Cup at that time, playing the most amazing football through that sequence of games to then end up, and that's what creates your culture and your history, and that's what we sort of live to replicate each and every season we play. So I think our feeling going into this game is to have that synergy, because it's so important. It's what the founding values of this club has been about: connection, people together. So we get that tomorrow night, and we've seen it already this season. It's the most amazing place to be in, and that's what we want to have tomorrow.
Okay, 01419511025. You want to join in on the discussion about Celtic's game tomorrow, you can do. Rangers fans, how are you feeling? It can't be often you play a giant like Manchester United and their manager says it's the worst team in their history a couple of days before it. Does that encourage you? Do you read anything into it? How do you rate your chances? Give us a call and we'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel are here, ready to take all your thoughts on the European games coming up. Celtic season defining, potentially. What was the last caller said? Biggest game in a decade or
a
something?
Decade,
I mean, that is high praise for the level of fixture that. So what are you thinking about that game tomorrow, Celtic fans, Rangers fans? We're going to look at Ruben Amorim talking about it being the worst ever Man United team. How big a chance does that give you to go and beat the name? And what would still be a famous result, I'm sure. Let's do that with Lorraine, who is a Rangers fan. How are you, Lorraine?
Hi guys, I'm alright, thanks.
Is this the worst Man United team in history? That must give you some confidence, surely.
I don't know. I think personally it could be one of the ones where he's trying to get some sort of reaction out of his team. I mean, personally I hope it backfires and I hope they have like an absolute howler, because obviously that's going to be good for us. But at the same time, I think we can't really read too much into that. We just need to go down there and play our game.
Yeah, obviously we will focus on this mostly from a Rangers perspective, but what did you make of that?
I'm with Lorraine. I think there was rumours that he kind of kicked off. And
right, but managers always want to get a reaction. Not many claim that
seems to be a wee bit different. I don't mind the approach. It'll ruffle feathers in the dressing room saying that. Which I think, you know, looking at the last period of time, not just this manager, the last three or four at Man United, it's been a similar squad there. And, you know, I think there's a big clear-out needing, to be honest. And I think this guy will be the guy who will do it. So I wasn't too surprised. But as Lorraine says there, he's probably looking for some sort of reaction out of his team. I've watched their last two games at home where, as I say, Man United at home, the onus is on them to go out and try and attack. They get a good result against Arsenal in the Cup where they sat in and made it difficult for Arsenal. I think they'll have to come and try and play. The onus is on them to go out, and that might suit Rangers. You watch Rangers in Europe, counter attack, very effective. I think it might, you know, work for Rangers. But again, you have to remind yourself, despite the run they're on, they've still got some.
I like it. I like the manager's approach. I do. I think that sometimes
what do you like about it?
I like the fact that he's come out and, you know, had a real go at his players. I think too many managers tiptoe around players that are on contracts and what about.
Are you trying to tell me though there are not possibly a million other ways to have a go at your players and light a fire under them rather than saying that it is the worst Man United team in history? Because by the way, for a start, it's factually incorrect. So.
Yeah, but what he's doing is he's putting out there, listen, I'm not here protecting you and telling the press that, hold on a minute, we've got injuries, we're doing this, we're doing that, and it's a work in progress. He's not doing that. He's come out. He obviously feels within himself, being in the club now, you've seen what he's done to Rashford. He's put him right out of the picture right away. Yep. So he's stamping his authority there. And I think that someone like that had to come in and do something differently. We've seen all the managers failing at Manchester United.
With the same players.
Yes, and all of a sudden this guy's thought to himself, no, enough's enough. Look, that's what he's looking for. Of course he's looking for a reaction. He's looking for them to stand up and say, do you know what, we're going to prove you wrong. I'm going to go out here and show you and have a real dig at the manager. That's what he's looking for. It's good management for me. He's put it out there public. He's not hiding away from it. He's been strong enough and brave enough to turn around and say, do you know what? I'm at Manchester United, but these guys are not going to hide behind me. And he's already done it with Rashford. I like the way he's going about his business. They're not the greatest now, but let's not forget one thing. It's at Old Trafford,
yeah,
and they have still got a squad full of international football players.
Yep.
So it is going to be difficult, but Rangers...
Are you confident, Lorraine?
No, I'm not confident, it's the word. I think something special happens to Rangers on a Thursday night, so obviously I take that. But again, at the same time, when we played Spurs, it's probably different because it was at Ibrox, but when we played Spurs, we showed some really good... I don't know, like style and the way we played and stuff, and just that, like that desire and will to win. And if we can go down there we something resembling that, then do you know what? There's no any reason why we can't get something.
Because, like, again, of course, I'm not disagreeing with the financial power and all that sort of stuff. But you keep saying, oh, it's still Man United. When will the football world ever get to the stage of the world
that it's not?
That it's just not. Do you know what I mean? Like, the league table tells you that. You go through all the last, what was it, four or five home games, lost to Brighton, beat Southampton, lost to Newcastle, lost to Bournemouth, lost to Nottingham Forest. I'm not saying Rangers are as good or better than these teams, but at what point do you stop that?
It was a large period of the Southampton game. I know the result is the most important, but Southampton were the better team for 80 minutes.
Because, listen, of course, I get it. How could I not? It's that famous phrase that people have started taking the mickey out of, you know, it's Manchester United we're talking about. Mm. Again, of course. Mm. But if we're saying the league table never lies and all that stuff, it's the 13th best team in England.
Look, they're not in a good place. Let's not be kidded here. You can't keep going, oh, it's still Manchester United. People now go to Old Trafford and fancy their chances, whether it's Nottingham Forest or Southampton. They've now gone and attacked Manchester United at Old Trafford. Never been seen before. All of a sudden, it's completely changed. So they are in a bad place. But remember something... Whether it's Manchester United or not, they have still got players that, if they click on the night with the quality they've got, can hurt you. Of course it can.
Yeah. Lorraine, I suppose, is it a nice position in the sense that, you know, Rangers have already got a good number of points on the board in the Europa League? It's not like you have to get something.
Oh, it's fantastic to be in this position when we've got two games left, especially a home game is the last one. I mean, realistically, we could probably go down there and get beat tomorrow, and then I expect us to win the last game at Ibrox. So, I think the guys have worked really hard, and despite what's going on domestically, we've done really well to get in the position we're in and kind of set ourselves up.
That's it, Gordon, isn't it? I mean, there's all that kind of stuff that goes around the game when it's a Scottish team playing an English team, and it is still Old Trafford, as you say, in the size of the reputation and the size of the name. You know, Rangers could afford to not get something. That you wonder how that plays into Philippe Clement's mind, or is it?
No, I think they'll go down there. Look, I think if they got a draw, they'd be over the moon. Yeah. They'll fancy something, Gordon. Where I think the game is different for me is, I think it plays into Rangers' hands a little bit. I think if we've criticised Rangers this season, it's when they have to break down teams. That'll be an open game. Manchester United, no matter how bad they are just now, at Old Trafford will come out and have a go.
And that
will shoot Rangers down to a tee. I think that's why a Thursday night, as Lorraine was talking about, Rangers seem to come alive. I think it's because of the way the game's played, and I think it suits Rangers' style of play, and I think they've got the players. Mm. They'll still have to play at their best capabilities, let's not be kidded, but I think quietly they'll fancy getting something.
Well, let's thank Lorraine and bring in Gary. How are you, Gary?
Evening, guys. How are you? All right?
Yeah, good to hear. What have you got for us?
Just a quick question, because I'm not really clued up with the new format with the Champions League and the Europa League situation. Just a question is, like, with the January and sales and stuff like that, where hopefully both teams qualify, if they bring in the players and the qualified, are they players registered to play in?
No, not until the next round of Europe, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bit of a. Does that annoy you, or what? Because what you hoping Rangers sign somebody, or?
Well, it's just that does that not just like put a wee cap on players that are trying to Celtic or Rangers trying to bring in? Because I think Europa, yeah, if I should look at that just to say, you know, we're trying to bring in players, but we may not qualify, or we do qualify and we kind of get registered. So it must put a wee cap in a wee situation where players are wanting to play in Europe.
It's definitely different, isn't it? You know, it's a byproduct of this new format.
But if they sign players, they can play in the next stage.
Yeah,
should they qualify?
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's clearly a change, though, because it might shift when you can do your business. You know, you're waiting until, just as an example, would Celtic have to wait until after the Aston Villa game? Do you know what I mean? If there was somebody in the balance, and it's just different, isn't it? You know, the fact that we've got this new format that runs you right into the January window.
Yeah,
normally, Celtic would know by this stage if they were in or out of Europe and so on. Is that much of a concern, or do we just take the rough with the smooth on the new European formats?
Yeah, I think, listen, financially, Celtic are in a good place. I think whether that qualification to the next round determines spending even more at this stage, I'm not so sure. But it's something new again with the revamped tournament. It's taken us, as you joked earlier on, we're now teams in Europe at the end of January.
But it can work in a number of ways. You know, people spoke about Kyogo. Had Kyogo been sold last week, you'd go into two Champions League games without him and be unable to replace him. So it's clearly going to surely shift the way teams do business.
You would think so. I mean, the speculation with Kyogo. My kids are at it. I'm like, you wouldn't do it. It just wouldn't make sense. You know, he's Celtic's top striker, and they've got two huge games coming up. You just wouldn't consider it at all.
Gary, do you think Rangers can get something against the worst Man United team in history, as we're being told?
I think that we can go down there, and hopefully we can get the win. We play well away from home, and then if we get a draw, then hopefully then, you know, we can at least keep Tottenham away maybe just keep on that eighth position just now. And then when we get the next game at home, then hopefully we can get the 3 points that are vital for us, I think.
Suppose you're hoping that at least Man United have now shown some sort of ceiling. The 2-2 draw against Liverpool, the cup game against City. I know they were both away from home, weren't they? Mm. Is this a bad combination? Rangers don't like playing away, and Man United don't like playing at home. What's going
to
give?
And they went to the Emirates and won penalty kicks as well. Mm. Look, Manchester United, you never know what you've got to get with them, do you? Let's be honest about it.
I think there'll be goals in the game.
Oh, I think it'll be an open game. I really do. I think it's a game, I said earlier, I think it suits Rangers' style of play. I think they'll enjoy that. But they'll need to play at their best. Yeah. Let's not be kidded here. You know, they've got good players.
Celtic earlier on, they'll need a similar performance to the Spurs game.
Yeah.
They need to be up at that kind of level.
I've got to say, see if it was at Ibrox, I'd be sitting here probably very confident the Rangers could turn Manchester United over. I really would, but...
That's what I mean. Maybe they seem worse at home.
I know that, but...
We keep saying this.
I think if you're Manchester United, as much as they are producing better results away from home... If they're playing Rangers, I think right now, if you asked everyone concerned, still they'd rather still have it.
It'll be interesting to see how the game starts, because if Rangers got off to a good start with the falling that they'll take down there, as you say, Man United, I've watched them collapse recently at home. It's an interesting one to see how it'll pan out.
Thank you, Gary. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Every day is payday. Rachel was on the school run when she got the extra payday call, and she's still in the draw for the massive £250,000 on Friday. A double win, potentially, and it could be you as well. So make sure you text YES to 61025. If you do that, you get 2-for-1 text. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. And those calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are online, and the lines for the big one close 3 p.m. on Friday. So for your chance to have £250,000 paid into your bank account in time for the weekend, plus another chance to win £2,025, enter before 3 p.m. tomorrow. If you answer your phone, that's it, the money is yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diel is here, so is Simon Donnelly. We've got big games coming up, a big one to look forward to in Glasgow tomorrow. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? We've had some big words used on the show to describe this game. One caller said it was the biggest in a decade. Simon Donnelly certainly thinks biggest of the season. People are saying season defining, all that sort of stuff. So how do you feel about Young Boys? How do you feel about the challenge? I suppose on paper you couldn't have picked a better opportunity to try and seal your progression. But in a roundabout way, does that then sometimes fill you with a bit of nervousness as well? I think as Scottish teams are not used to getting into European competition or international competitions, being the favourites and having so much positivity behind us, I wonder how you're feeling ahead of that one, Celtic fans. You could pick your team as well, do all that sort of stuff tonight or tomorrow. And Man United await Rangers. Rangers heading for Manchester tomorrow afternoon. This time tomorrow we'll hear from Philippe Clement on the show. He will be doing his press conference down there at Old Trafford. Saf is perfectly placed to join us on the show. How are you, Saf?
Not bad, mate. How's yourself?
Good, thanks. Now, the reason I say it is because you are from our neck of the woods, and you are a Man United fan as well. Is that right?
Yeah. But we're going to the game on Thursday.
What end? Home end.
Man United. Well, right. Obviously. we just established that. No. I just thought, because obviously we're playing Rangers on Thursday, and our manager made such explosive comments during the week, I just thought I would give you a call and really ask the panel, how would they react if a manager said that about them going into a European game, or any game for that matter?
It's a brilliant question, Saf, because Gordon Diel sat here and tried to pretend that he likes it, and yet he's the thinnest skinned person of all time. So if a manager had said that about you, you'd have went, good on you, gaffer.
Yeah, I take criticism the right way. I would have responded. Uh-huh. I'd have been angry. Yeah. Let's not be kidded. I'd have been angry with the manager. But it gets back to, Simon will tell you, it's happened to everybody's career. See, as a player, you get maybe put in the subs bench, right? And you think you're raging, you're angry, you're calling the manager for every house, so-and-so playing in front of me. But when you go in the park, you go in the park with that desire to say, I'm going to show this manager, I am going to prove him wrong. He should never put me in the bench. And I think that's what the manager's doing. I think he's just putting the rod out there and seeing who's going to attack it. I don't think there's anything up with it, because in the modern day game now, Gordon, players are protected unbelievable, right? And I see the point in it. But sometimes when you're in a manager that's come into a new club, he's making big decisions, I don't see anything wrong with saying, do you know what? Go and show me. Go and prove me wrong.
Yeah, see, the thing is, this is now coming across like that I disagree with that. It's not so much that. I wonder if you're just missing the point slightly. It's not that he's criticised the players. So as you say, I'll show him we're not the worst team in Man United's history.
I think it's more collectively, I think he's trying to do it.
But is it not more the choice of the words? Like, what's the point? As we said, they're not the worst team in Man United's history. What's the point? There are a million phrases he could have chosen, right? To do what you're saying. Light a fire under them, try and get a reaction, don't overprotect them. There are a million ways he could have done that rather than that soundbite. Probably, it's just weird.
Probably in his mind, he's not come out and done it individually, right? He's done it collectively. Right.
But that's fine. Same thing as this. Do you know what? We are falling miles below the standards. It's unacceptable. Does that not do the same thing rather than this big statement?
I'm not arguing with the fact that he might have chosen, right, we're not the worst team in Manchester United history. I'm not arguing with that. What I like is the fact that he's come out there and collectively he's basically thrown it out to them and saying, this is not the standard. It's not good enough. Whether he's chosen the right words or not, then people can argue with that. But I like the way he's come out and just decided, you know what? I'm not going to have a go individually. I'm not going to throw you under the bus and I'm going to do it collectively.
I'm just going to torch the full place.
Yeah, basically. Because he is aiming in at everybody in that dressing room.
Let me ask Saf. He says he would like it. Saf, it would light a fire under him. As a fan, what do you think?
I don't even think it's going to make a blind bit of difference at this point, because that team has been underperforming for years under different managers. So it's like, I appreciate why he's come out and done it, and as a supporter, he's got a lot of support from, you know, like the likes of myself and the populace is that we agree with him. But we're just, like, the reason I was phoning is because there is a major chance that Rangers can go to Old Trafford and get a result, and on paper that shouldn't be the case. But if you look at, see, under Eric Ten Hag, like 12 months ago, we played Newport County. It was almost a year ago today, and we shipped 24 chances against Newport County. We won the game, but the reason I bring up the point is because the caliber of opponent doesn't matter to us anymore. We will give everyone a chance that's concerning. So the reason I ask the question is to get like a kind of different slant is to, we understand that as pros you would probably accept that, but the culture of the club doesn't seem to be there at the moment to actually take that message on board.
That's a good point. I mean, having Saf watches them closer than us.
It's a fair point.
Have you seen anything in that group that makes you think, oh yeah, they'll get their heads down and prove the manager wrong?
First of all, the guy didn't want to come just now. If you remember, he wanted to come at the end of the season, but Man United said, look, we want you now. I think maybe it's a message to the guys above, as well as try to get a reaction out of the dressing room, because they went and got a really good result in the cup against Arsenal. They went down to 10 men, they went through in penalties. And after the game, he spoke about, it's nothing to do with tactics, it's nothing to do with the shape of what I want the team to play. That was down to mentality. And a couple of the players came out and backed him with that. But two games later, they're getting beat 3-1 at home against Brighton. And the Southampton game, as Saf will tell you, up until 80 minutes, they were getting torn apart in that game as well. Southampton had chances. Yes, they get the three goals late on, and the score probably flatters them a little bit. But as Saf quite rightly says there, he follows them week in, week out. They will give opposition chances at the moment. And maybe that was just the manager's frustration after watching performance after performance, thinking he's turned a corner, and then watching that one at the weekend.
How do you think it's going to go then, Saf? Is it your heart, your head? What's ruling at the moment?
There'll be goals either way, and Ahmad will probably score. Like, I think that when players face their former clubs, and obviously looking at that, the way that loan deal went with Rangers, it didn't end the best, and then obviously went to Sunderland and showed that he had potential. Now, lo and behold, you show a bit of effort, you end up with the Man United squad. Who knew?
Yeah, there's a bit of that. Arguably, is he the biggest threat to Rangers now, all of a sudden, in this Man United team?
Probably on form, aye, but like, again, like, what 11 players start and what 11 players can be bothered is where we're at just now. I mean, if Bruno Fernandes is our best player, but from week to week he can get frustrated in what he's been asked to do. If we show up and play like maybe we should on paper, then we should win the game, but we don't play games of football on paper. It's not played on paper, it's played on what you can see on the pitch, and right now Man United are there to be got at for anyone. So it's frustrating, but I will be there with a few drinks in me.
You've not got any Rangers supporting pals that you're giving a lift down to, have you?
I've got a lot of Rangers supporting pals, but I'll be going down on the supporters bus, which actually leaves from Glasgow, so I'll be able to vent with other like-minded people.
Good man, Saf, we appreciate your time. That was a great call. That was Saf from Renfrew, but Man United fan heading down. Keep your calls coming whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This time tomorrow, Celtic fans will know the team will be really building up to the game at Celtic Park. So how are you feeling a day before? In the meantime, let's play a big game of our own on 01419511025. It's Beat the Pundit. You have to call before 7 and we'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025 to join in. Let's have your thoughts tonight then, whether it is Celtic against Young Boys tomorrow and everything that goes around that fixture, or Man United Rangers. I look back on that Scottish Cup draw. I don't suppose it was the type of Scottish Cup draw that's going to generate millions of calls. It was quite a straightforward one, and there weren't any shocks really over the weekend. But if you want to talk about it, you can do. I'll put it out again like we did at the start of the show. You Motherwell fans, this is one of the first times we've been reporting on a concrete bid for Lennon Miller. It's been spoken about for ages. 2.5 million from Udinese. What is enough? It's clearly not enough because the club have rejected it. What is enough? What is the price? Give us a call right now, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. We're not going to bore the nation. We're not going through it all. The percentages every week, we discuss it all. I'll tell you, Gordon,
I must be up there.
It's like the Premiership. It's so bunched up. A win will do. No, no, you're not. You're down. But a win will do wonders for you tonight. I reckon you could go
second.
I think you could jump like four places with a win. Honestly, that's huge.
I won the other day there.
Huge incentive.
Nationality is Matondo, right? There's Welsh. He's English, mate.
I mean, he's not. It's football nationality. Always has been.
No, no, no. Don't say that. Nationality.
It's always the same.
He's English. He's born in Liverpool.
Nope. Football nationality in this show. Always say it. Thanks for listening. Scott McTominay, etc., etc. You should probably catch it by now. Let's play on Beat the Pundit. Simon Donnelly or Gordon DL, one of them, will take part tonight. We'll toss the coin to find out which one. He'll take on Michael in Kirkintilloch. How's it going, Michael?
Yeah, not bad. How are you guys?
All good here. All good, Michael.
Michael,
what's got more of a chance, you winning tonight or Celtic winning tomorrow?
Celtic winning tomorrow, probably.
We thought about it though. Yeah. He was weighing his abilities up for a minute. I don't mind that.
That was a tactical move from
Michael.
He at least
pretended.
Yeah, I heard that in his voice.
He didn't come on and say, I'm the worst Beat the Pundit player in history.
Yeah.
He just said, you know.
You still to show that.
Have you ever played before, Michael?
I have. Good few years ago, came up against Roger Hanna.
Wonder. He's a hard man to beat. That would have been before we moved him on to minus two, though.
Before the handicap, long before the handicap.
Oh, he was just on zero.
Aye.
Oh, I can't. Aye. That's unacceptable. That's too tough. Let's heads. It will be Simon Donnelly. Tails. It will be Gordon DL. Both looking to climb the table. And it is tails. It's Mr. Percentage himself, Gordon.
All the
DL.
Best, Michael.
Cheers, Gordon. You too.
Right. No, I'm not really mean that, Michael.
Gordon DL, give him something else to listen to if we can. Perfect. 30 seconds, Michael. I'm sure you remember the drill. It's not changed. You just answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. That's absolutely fine, okay?
Aye, that's perfect.
Right, your time goes on the clock and it starts now. Who scored the winner in last night's Dundee Derby?
Simon Murray.
Young Boys play in which Swiss city?
Bern.
How many Premiership teams have been knocked out the Scottish Cup so far? Which former Rangers player could line up against them on Thursday?
Amad Diallo.
Which Scottish team was Rangers' Alex Lowry on loan at last season?
Hearts.
Name any player to score a hat-trick in the Cup at the weekend. Okay. Can you hear us? Are you ready? Gordon DL, Earth to Gordon.
Yes.
Are you with us now?
I'm here.
Good. Same set of questions.
Yeah.
Michael is good. He was playing himself down.
Was he?
Yeah, he's good.
Well, she.
Don't let that get to you, though.
No, no, no.
You ready?
Go.
Your time starts now. Who scored the winner in last night's Dundee
Murray.
Derby? Young Boys play in which Swiss city?
Pass.
How many Premiership teams have been knocked out of the Scottish Cup so far?
Four.
Which former Rangers player could line up against them on Thursday?
Diallo!
Which Scottish team was Rangers Alex Lowry on loan at last season?
Hearts.
Name any player to score a hat trick in the cup at the weekend.
Desert.
I messed that question up. Name any side that played in this season's Stirlingshire Cup. You do deserve a question.
In the Stirlingshire Cup?
Quick.
Oh, Stirling Albion.
Okay.
I can't believe that Manchester United.
What did you say?
Eton.
Eton. I thought it was tomorrow night, Young Boys. Ex-Rangers.
Read it off there.
What?
He read it off there. He said it, Eton.
He's right. I'm thinking of someone spelt like E-A-T-O-N.
No, how do you pronounce it?
Eton.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just...
Oh, right. Oh, went too quick.
It's wrong. Oh, Michael, how do you think it went?
That's the story of my life. I went too quick.
Michael, how do you think it went?
I think he might have picked me just, but.
Not sure. Simon Murray got the winner in the derby in the first minute. I was hoping for some more goals.
I know.
Because I think the goal,
perfect start.
The goal took place sometime between me leaving this office and getting to the car.
So you're thinking it's going to be a great game.
Simon Murray, 1-1. This is how I knew the difference between you two, because Michael got this and then there was not a chance that you were getting it. Young Boys are from Birmingham.
Young Boys and Bear.
I said it at the time. Big donut, can you?
Young Boys and
Bear.
2-1.
How many Premiership teams are out of the Cup? Motherwell, Kilmarnock, Ross County, Dundee United. 4. Oh, Michael got it as well.
Oh, Michael, so, well done, son.
He leads you by 1.
That's a great shout for Michael. I knew that. He guessed it.
The former Rangers player that played.
Oh, no.
Is obviously Amad Diallo, and Michael got it.
But I really got it.
No.
Because once I understood the question, I got it.
I'm afraid that's not quite how it works. So Michael goes 2 in front.
Oh.
Alex Lowry, you're hanging in there though. You knew he was on loan at Hearts. So did Michael.
Oh, no.
Still 2 behind. Name any player to score a hat-trick in the Cup at the weekend. You had the choice of Jay Henderson at Ayr or Cyril Dessers, which is obviously the better known of the two answers, Gordon. You got it. Michael didn't.
Oh.
So
he didn't.
He didn't.
That was one an easy behind. One, Michael.
I know. I'm surprised at you, Michael.
Michael's one behind.
He's one behind, and then
should be really equal. I should have got that.
I made a bit of a mess of the last question, but you did. I think people who regularly listen know I would never ever give you anything you didn't deserve on Beat the Pundit. You did deserve the last question. You even answered it quite quickly. Name any team that's played in the Stirlingshire Cup: Stirling Albion, Falkirk, Alloa, Dumbarton, and Steny. Didn't get that far. Equaliser.
Oh, it's a wee tiebreaker.
Equaliser.
Oh, Gordon. See that Manchester United thing? That's done me. That should be mine.
But then Michael could say he should have known Cyril Dessers.
No, but I didn't. You didn't read the question right.
Of course.
That's a problem.
It's always someone else's fault.
I like when Andrew's on.
Oh, it's always someone else's fault.
Crisp, you know the question.
I'll
don't
tell
you
what, this question.
I'll blow my mind.
You'll need to get, no, it's the answer that's going to blow your mind. I'll need to get the calculator out. Okay, the question is this. It's obviously the closest to Michael. I'll get him to write it down before I invite you to give me your attempt, because he'll cheat otherwise. Did you hear last night's shambles?
No.
How many teams? How many teams have won the Scottish Cup?
Yeah.
Contestant
sure
said.
Got it on the
contestant
button.
Said 24. Hugh said 25. Got it on the nose. But he didn't let on that Hugh had that exact tiebreaker 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did he?
But he claimed he couldn't remember it as well.
Because you were talking about it and you weren't sure. So
no,
I think Hugh got it, which quite rightly so.
But he says he couldn't remember it.
Well, there you go then.
Anyway, how many fouls have there been in the Scottish Premiership this season?
Fouls!
Fouls.
How many fouls have there been? Did you? Oh.
I don't even know where you're going.
Write it down, show me. Right, what are you going for, Michael?
3,500.
Okay.
I wouldn't even. Who makes that up?
It's the worst.
God, I love this. Do you know what I like most about this? How specific he's been. Gordon thinks it's 1,042. I think you'll actually find it's 1,047. No, you're miles off. Michael's gone for a more round number, 3,500.
No. Probably is up there, isn't it?
It's got to be near Michael.
It's 2,993, apparently. Don't shoot the messenger, whatever website they've got it from. But Michael is the winner, and he gets the sign ball.
I'm
well done, Michael.
That.
Yeah, thank you.
What are you not having?
I'm not having the Manchester United one. I would have got that all day long. It was just the way you read the question.
I don't mind.
Had you had a little look at the notes there?
No, the minute you went, he said ex-Rangers player, right? So I'm thinking tomorrow night's the nearest game.
Right.
So I'm right in there because I want to go quickly. And then when I heard Thursday...
You need to listen to the question. You know, I got caught out with that the other week.
It's quite a key component of this quiz, isn't it, to listen to the question.
And I'll tell you what, see that tiebreaker, if she ever makes it up, I would show them the
door. That's a difficult one.
You'd need to get them out.
There needs to be something to separate you.
Ah, but that's ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Give something at least... We can go, right, okay, I've worked out the goals, I've worked out that.
Well, you could go average fouls in a game.
How many average fouls in a game?
No idea.
Right, so you're just throwing just numbers out there. Do you know something? It's lost its appeal for me. This game has lost its appeal for me.
The great thing is, had you just listened to the question, you would have won it. Simple as that. Michael, Celtic tomorrow, talk to me. What are you thinking?
I think we got a decent chance. If we turn up, but again, that's a big if. I think we should be. I'm kind of hoping for similar to the Bratislava game in the first game. So come out the traps flying and sort of take the game to them. But quietly confident, but just never know. I'll be watching it behind the sofa.
How much do you read into there? Form, because I guess what this new format's done, Michael, you know, it's more games, so therefore that gives even more time for the form to set in this way. The old group, you'd play maybe two big hitters and it was all a bit closer together, but this is a team that has played six and lost six. Do you read into that, or do you still buy into this, you know, well, listen, there's no bad teams in the Champions League, etc.?
I definitely think there's no bad teams in the Champions League, but at the same time, I mean, they drew at the weekend as well with the bottom of the league in Switzerland. So just I think there's a little bit of, to do with the form, but I think overall we're a better team, like on paper, I think, and we should really be taking 3 points tomorrow.
I think it's the number of goals they've conceded, Simon. I mean, their previous Champions League game, they went and conceded five at Stuttgart. Michael likens it to Bratislava. Is that maybe a fair one in terms of being at home and if Celtic are favourites and the onus on them?
Yeah,
Brendan Rodgers did keep saying it today. They're still the Swiss champions.
Yep.
You know, he thinks there's an athleticism there and a physicality that won't make it a pushover. But like we said, you can't really ask for a better chance, can you?
You can't. No, you can't. I mean, if you looked at the fixtures at the beginning and you look towards the stage, second last game, Young Boys, having to beat them at home, you would take that all day. But again, they have to turn up. They have to go and perform, and I'm sure they will. You know, they've got everybody bar James Forrest fit. They've got the two most important players of the season so far, Maeda and Kuhn, back. You know, they linked up at the weekend to get the winner. But I just think, another performance out with, like the Bratislava game, especially the Leipzig game, I thought they were excellent. And that should see them over the line.
What would it mean, Michael, to take that next step? I know it's a different format, but just do something that hasn't been done in a long time and progress in the Champions League.
It's knockout football after this, so like you're really kind of going into like what if territory if we get through, you know, like we get through the playoffs, we get through into the playoffs, and then you never know. You could get an easy draw, and it could be incredible. I'm not saying we're going to get to the final and win it. I mean, dreamed enough about it, but I can't see it happening. But I think making that step into knockout European football will be massive for the club, because we've not done it in about two decades. So,
I'm sure Brendan Rodgers wouldn't welcome a conversation about who Celtic could get in the next round at this point, when they've got a lot to take care of first, Gordon, but we can do what we like, and we don't have that responsibility. It is a fair point, you know, because of the new format, and you look at some of the teams, you just never know.
How does the next round work? Well, is it a draw, or is it related to where you
finish?
I think
it's related, because they're going to be in a playoff round at best, you would imagine. Yeah, it will be playoff.
Right.
But yeah, Gordon, that kind of notion that you never know. It's not like you think, I'll get through and we're guaranteed to go out in the next round. You know, it might not be that way.
No, I think the new league format's been good for teams like Celtic Rangers. I really do. Look, I think Brendan Rodgers is concentrating, obviously, getting there first and foremost. I'm not like Celtic fans sitting going, well, I think it'll be difficult. I might, you know, as Michael said, be watching it behind the camera. I'm very confident Celtic take care of business. Look at the goals this team loses. Atalanta went to their home ground and beat them 6-1, I think it was. They've lost at 5. The ship goes for fun. Celtic have got plenty in the middle of the park and up front to score goals. I only see it going one way. And you're right, any cup games is always the importance of a draw. You could be lucky in the cup draw.
It's not a draw as such, like I was saying. So 9th will play 24th.
Yeah.
10th, 23rd.
Whoever's in there. When you look at that league, there's a lot of teams round about the top. But equally, I think Paris and Man City,
Man City down where Celtic
sitting,
are, aren't
they? So as Daz says, the luck there, you know. But if you get a nice tie in the next round, then
if you were being hypercritical, Michael, because the standards have been set high at the start of the season, Celtic are still in a very good place. But if you were being hypercritical, you would perhaps point to the fact that 5 points dropped in January, more goals conceded now than previously. We now get, put it this way, we now get the odd complaint about maybe a Celtic performance on the phone in that we just didn't get at the start of the season. Is there a drop off? Are people overreacting? Does that change anything? What do you feel about the position Celtic are in?
I certainly feel as if there's a bit of an overreaction from some quarters, but I still think we've got those extra gears to go up when we want to, and I think games like tomorrow are the ones that Brendan thrives upon, and like doesn't he let the occasion get to him? Just plays the game as it is and makes the decisions when he needs to. So I don't really look too much into the form recently, just because I know that what the team are capable of, you know, and we've got too many players on form to kind of discount that, to be honest. So, I'm quietly confident, but I'll tell you, I would be more confident beating Aston Villa away than I'm beating Young Boys at home. So, that's
what? Seriously?
Because there'd be no pressure on us either way, Villa away. So
you've just made my losing and beat the pundit tonight worse, Michael. That statement.
I think roundabout, I know what Michael means, and it's what I alluded to earlier.
Expectation.
We're not used to Scottish teams being this like overwhelming favourite in a big European game.
Yeah, but look who they're playing and look their form community.
A Villa losing to Monaco tonight, just by the by.
If you get one pick to win one game, you're picking tomorrow night all day long.
Brendan Rodgers used that great football phrase earlier, you know, play the game, not the occasion. I know these clubs are, they don't do these things by accident. They have comms departments and press officers and so on. They both almost word for word when they were asked about, you know, the atmosphere, and because there's been a discussion in the last couple of weeks about maybe fans needing to be more patient. Michael thinks there's been an overreaction, but both him and Callum McGregor spoke about giving the fans something to get on board with anyway. So you know that when the anthem goes off, you know the noise level goes to there at Celtic Park, but can you keep it there? Give that sounds as if they're going to try and come, you know, flying out and try and make it one of those nights.
I think, as Daz said earlier on, I think they come out all guns blazing at the start and try and get a goal, two goals. I've been at the Champions League games, the fans really react to what they see on the pitch after that initial noise.
Sorry to butt in, but is that, you know, Michael, we're talking there about expectation, because I don't get to many of them, I'm always in here, but I was at Bruges.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was really like that, and that's what I mean, because sometimes if you go in with an expectation that it's...
You didn't think it was like that, what the...
I didn't think the atmosphere stayed, because all of a sudden, 10, 15 minutes in, it's like, hold on a minute, Bruges are no bad here, this isn't panning out the way, you know, we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and that's where I think Brendan will look for the fans to stay with the team.
Then you need to give them the reason to, so I suppose it's the chicken and egg type.
Yeah, of course it is, but I think tomorrow night, as Daz says, I've got the kind of Celtic cap on there. You have to go out and still perform, but you know, I think you'd take it all day. I think Celtic have got too much firepower for Young Boys.
All right, thank you to Michael. What's the right price for Lennon Miller? Udinese have bid 2.5 million. It's been rejected. What's the right price? Give us your thoughts and we'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here, so is Simon Donnelly. It's that time of the night where we ask them to come up with the answers to a full-time teaser, a trivia question that you sent in. So Ross, big thank you to Ross for sending this one, and he says, who are the six players who've played for Barcelona and either of Glasgow's big two? Who are the six players who've played for Barcelona and either of Glasgow's big two? Now, just to clarify, because this is where you sometimes do get yourself in a bit of a pickle again, if you would just let me finish, you would find out what I'm about to say, is they have to have made a first team appearance for both. So Mikel Arteta is not one of them.
Larson.
What? Did he not play with Barcelona?
Real issues with listening to questions tonight, isn't he?
Did he not play with Barcelona? Not first team.
He obviously never got a first team game.
That surprises
Barca
me.
Reserves. Was he not a young lad there?
Any that did?
Henrik Larsson.
Yes, Henrik Larsson.
Van Bronckhorst.
Yes.
That's who I mean.
Take one guess from you, Gordon, before we move
on. Van Bronckhorst was my guess.
Ah, right, okay.
Oh, hold on.
Is that who you meant?
Yeah.
With Arteta?
Yeah.
Right.
I went the wrong person.
It's never good that. Okay, we'll just leave it there for now, okay? Because you've only got six to get. So you've said Van Bronckhorst, you've said Henrik Larsson. We'll leave it there for now. Let's bring in something else to discuss, because I know you'll have thoughts on this, lots of you out there, because he's been one of the most spoken about players this season and probably gone back, and it's Motherwell's Lennon Miller. So a bid of around £2.5 million from Udinese rejected for Park Club, so it doesn't meet their valuation of the 18-year-old. I think you all know the drill. Made his debut at 16. He's got over 60 appearances now. He's captained the team in the absence of Paul McGinn and Stephen O'Donnell. He's out injured currently, and so on and so forth. £2.5 million, Gordon, not enough for the club. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'm quite happy that they're digging their heels in. Look, he's one of the best young talents in our country. There's no doubt about that. He's only going to get better. So I think that coming in, I know it's Motherwell and you think, oh, £2.5 million for Motherwell is a lot of money. I think Brian Caldwell is very good at this. He's terrific at his job, Brian. I think he'll know Lennon his worth, and he'll hold on for as much as he possibly can, and quite rightly so.
Bill called with some thoughts on it. What do you think, Bill, of that fee?
I think it was a very cheeky fee that Udinese put in for him. I think Lennon Miller, I mean, I've phoned you several times. I thought Celtic should sign him. I think Celtic should pay £2.5 million down for him, leave him with Motherwell until the end of the season, and then I think he's worth another two and a half.
So £5 million, basically, yeah?
Yeah, I think he's that good.
Simon, what did you think of that fee
Too low, yeah. I think, obviously, they're looking at Motherwell and testing the water there. I think it's far too low, and good on Motherwell for, you know, acknowledging that and saying, refusing it, obviously. I think he's worth a lot more than that. He's going to be a big player in the future, wherever he goes. But, yeah, somebody used the word deriser earlier on. 2 point, what was it?
Five.
Yeah, too low.
Would it take?
I thought it's a funny one, isn't it?
I'm like, I want to be like everyone. I want to really champion this notion that our clubs can hold out for top dollar. Then reality bites a bit, and you think, well, he's got 18 months left in his contract. It's not even that. A year and a half, essentially, a season and a half. It's not that long. It's just not, and that does play a part. Because if it's not this window, then you get into the summer window with 1 year left, obviously, on the contract. Motherwell's, what record, all in all, was it about 3.5 for Turnbull? So you're looking at more than that, aren't you?
That's I wouldn't take any less in five million. I'd be looking.
You don't think four would do it? No. I'm not saying I personally am happy with that, but if you're Motherwell, you get to the end of the window and there's four on the table.
There might be a case of, and I know this will probably happen, if they do go around about the four or five, they'll certainly of course they will be.
Sell on if you get that, but that's fine. That's quite common now with
which will make a nice package, but. Me personally, looking at the lad, looking at his ability, I know what you're talking about, Turnbull, he was in the same bracket. I think Lennon Miller just moved that step up. I would not be taking any less than five for him. That's my opinion.
I think four would do it, 4-5, Simon, yeah, what are you thinking?
I think round about that. Four, yeah, I think they would consider it. But as Daz says, if it went to five, the lad is... That's going to be a player. Mm-hmm.
And as you say, that's what every move is about this now, really. You're talking about buying potential. He's 18.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't, if you believe in the potential, yeah, and you believe
18,
in the talent.
He played a lot of senior football, skippered the club, and has performed very consistently. So it's obvious he's attracting interest. But yeah, the 2.5 is too low.
Right, so we'll say double it then. We've all agreed to double it.
Well, here's a question for you, right? Put it in another way. See if Lennon Miller was in and out the Celtic team, they're now 18 with the ability he's got.
Celtic just sold Burnaby for 5 million.
That's my exact point.
Although you were his agent, you left him. Exactly, you're the only guy left.
Exactly, I think they sold him the cheap. We're not having this discussion. We're talking well north of 5 million.
But is that just the reality of the way these things work? Unfortunately,
yeah. I think that is the case.
Because Lennon Miller's ability in the English Championship would go for. You know, you can always do that. I'm not saying I like it, and that's why it's good that our clubs are going to try. I think we've got a bit better at that here. Look at the fee Aberdeen got for Calvin Ramsey.
Yeah.
You know, he's back in loan at Kilmarnock. That sort of thing. Aberdeen got a very good fee for Miovsky.
Yeah.
I think we're getting there maybe. Bill, it sounds like a lot of the interest is coming from abroad though. Doesn't look like at this point there is a Celtic interest there. You expect that to come, or is this just on your wish list?
He's certainly on my wish list. I don't know what the situation is at Celtic Park, but to me, he's the brightest star that I've seen coming. I'm a Celtic fan. He's the brightest star I've seen coming since, his name I can write out of my head now, Ian Durrant.
Fair enough. I mean, it's come fair way back and a good player as well.
Ian Durrant was a very, very good player.
Gordon, I think though the route that Lennon Miller has taken, you wonder if what you learn from that in terms of what the next move does look like, because loads of players could maybe go down to England and go into like academy football. You get the feeling he's kind of past that. I'm not even talking about ability, just clearly the choices he's made, and he's got over 60 appearances at 18. So the next move would be somewhere that you think he can at least get close to playing.
I think now. I know it's starting to happen. More and more of the younger players are starting to look abroad.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Italian leagues and I think that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. It's a different cult, different way of football, different way you live your life, how you prepare.
The education of it is
absolutely brilliant. Everybody you hear talking about it that's experienced it. So instead of everybody thinking, right, okay, he's a terrific player, he's going to go to the English Premier League, probably not see him for a few years, try and see if he can break into these first teams down there, going over abroad to Italy or wherever it may be, I think that appeals to young players now.
Yeah, Italy's now become an incredible market
because
for Aaron Hickey
in
and
recent
Lewis Ferguson.
Times. The guys that you're mentioning there have went and did well, so now you've got that Italian clubs looking in our direction at young players that have been doing well. I'm like Daz, it's a wonderful opportunity if young lads can get a chance at Serie A or a division of that ilk. Why not? You know, why not? But I think for his development, you know, he's in that Motherwell team, he's playing week in, week out, and he's fit. I think for his development, he needs to go somewhere where he's not sliding back down into reserve football, whatever you want to call it now. He has to be playing. He has to be playing.
10th in Serie A, perfectly stable, you know, Serie A club, just a couple of points behind some really big clubs like Milan and Roma. You wonder, only he would know this, and maybe his dad, as everybody you know, knows the relationship there, would wonder if how he would feel personally. You know, we are obviously, it can only happen if the fee's reached. Mm-hmm. Wonder if that's one that would excite
Lennon going to abroad.
Well, Udinese in particular.
I don't know. Don't know enough about the club, to be honest with you, Gordon. But obviously, he's got plenty of time to sit back and, you know, do his homework and make sure it's the right move for him. That's an important thing. At his age, it's got to be the right move because he's progressing one way just now. Yeah. He's in the Motherwell team. He's been made captain because, obviously, the unfortunate injuries to Paul McGinn and people like that. He's took that responsibility on. He wants to keep going forward. And you mentioned his father there. His father knows the game inside out, and he's got a great person to knock things off of and talk to and advise, and his father's there for him. And I think the way they're going about their business, they're no rush to get away from Motherwell. They know Motherwell's been a great club for them, but I just think the next move's so important. And the way that they are as a family and everything about them, I think they'll make the right choice in their next move for
the
boy.
To be fair, Bill thinks the bid's too low. You two think it's too low. But I mean, that's well within Udinese's rights, isn't it? You know, who goes in with the highest offer straight away?
Yeah, they'll be testing what.
Does getting to that number at this stage, does that suggest to you that there is the number Motherwell are looking for just round the corner?
I mean,
if that starts there, I've seen, is it Eintracht Frankfurt, I think was another rumour or report. Think that you're now seeing it heading in that direction?
Well, they're going in with $2.5 million knowing that's never going to be accepted, Gordon, right? So, and all of a sudden your Motherwell, you're thinking, right, okay, we're heading the right way. It'll be interesting to see what they come back with. But I think, as I said earlier, I know Brian Caldwell personally. He's brilliant.
Oh, is that why you were singing his praises a minute ago?
Yeah.
Keep in with him.
Yeah, and he's a good coffee maker, Brian. He's brilliant at this sort of a thing. He's very switched on when it comes to, you know, getting the best for the club.
There we go. Thank you to Bill for sharing his thoughts on it. If you've got any, it would be nice to hear them. 01419511025. I'm going to very loosely link two things here because it's just a breaking story in front of me. I'm not saying they're the same. I'm not saying he's as good as Lennon Miller or vice versa or whatever. The loose point I'm trying to make is how important picking the right move is, being at the right club to develop, to fulfil potential, etc. Because Rangers can tonight confirm that Alex Lowry has joined Wickham on a permanent basis. Now, that's not the move people had in mind for Alex Lowry 3-4 years ago. And for whatever reason, they're playing a blame game. I'm not saying whose fault it is or whatever. But it just shows you that for all those factors that have to come together for the progression to be what people want it to be.
He was always the nearly man at Ibrox, wasn't he? Everybody thought when you seen him, he was the next big thing when he come on the scene. He then get loaned out to Hearts. He comes back to Rangers and he completely falls right out of the picture. And look, I don't think that was a move probably 2 years ago he'd be looking at. But the one thing I like is the fact that it's there. It's first team football. He knows that his career just now is standing still. So he's decided, I may have to take a lot of steps backwards to go forwards again. And I wish him all the best because I think that is probably the right move for a lad. I'm not saying the right club. I don't know anything about the club. He's obviously quite happy with the move. He's happy with the club. He's been impressed of what he's seen and what he's heard. And we wish him all the best because the lad has got good talent. It's just unfortunate it's not worked at Ibrox for him.
That's the thing. I'm not saying this is some sort of dreadful move, and it's not the point I'm trying to make. It's just talking about sometimes, you know, fulfilling the potential people believe you have is not that simple if the environment's not right, or if you're not right, or a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the little bits of Alex Lowry that I've seen before, you know, I thought there was a chance there to go in and play as an exciting attacking player in the Rangers team. But I don't work with the lad day in, day out, for whatever reason. He didn't get his time there. He went to Hearts, never really happened for him. So as Daz says, sometimes as a player, you have to think, right, okay, what's my next step? He's got the opportunity to go to Wycombe Wanderers and play some football, play first team football and get himself going again. I think Lennon Miller's obviously totally different situation at this time, but he's got a dad there that's played in the game, they'll realise the importance of the next move for Lennon, with everything, you know, financially, the opportunity, the stage that he's going to play on. But the game time is the important thing for an 18-year-old who's now been playing in that Motherwell team, what, a couple of years, got himself the captaincy. He has to be playing football.
Bailey is on Twitter saying, if Celtic failed to bid for Lennon Miller, I can see this being a John McGinn situation all over again. Should be all over this, says Bailey on Twitter. But it is Udinese with the bid we're talking about. Gordon, gone crystal ball. Will Lennon Miller be a Motherwell player by the end of this window?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So go what? Try and sell him in the summer?
I think that's when the business will be done.
With a year left.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
I think the same as well. Okay.
Good time to call if you want to weigh in on that discussion. You can. You want to go back to the Celtic Young Boys preview, the extended preview for Rangers heading to Old Trafford, whatever you fancy, pick up the phone. What about this teaser? Six players have played for Barcelona and either of Glasgow's big two. You've got Van Bronckhorst and Larsson.
Surely Vi at Celtic.
No first team appearance for Barca. I think. So we've fallen down.
De Boer.
Both De Boers, and we'll get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. If you would want to do, I thought you were waving at me. Are you just scratching your head?
Yeah,
just a wee head scratch.
Yeah,
okay?
With a pen. Obviously I've coloured in my baldy bit.
Wrong colour.
When's the hair transplant actually? Still going for that?
I'm going to probably pencil that in maybe March. We're in a bit March, good. I think.
But apparently some of your other New Year's resolutions, you've fallen off the cliff a wee bit. You still not touched alcohol, have you?
No.
How many coffees you had today?
Oh, quite a few.
How many?
I don't know. I had a disaster yesterday.
Roughly how many coffees you had today?
I had about 11 before 12, half past 12 yesterday morning. It was ridiculous. I had four right out the bat.
What do you mean by that, four out the bat?
Well, when I woke up, I drank four coffees.
But you non-stop. You chain-smoked the coffees?
Yeah.
Four in a row.
Yeah.
As soon as you go
a
up.
Mug of coffee.
A beaker. I put it in a beaker.
Beaker?
Yeah. I like it in a beaker.
Drink them in the lab.
A beaker of And then I changed it to oat lattes. So I went,
and it's still a coffee though. Just
it's normal coffee, oat latte.
How many did you have by midday?
I'd round about 11
by 12 o'clock in the day.
Yeah, about quarter past 12.
When I came in tonight, I always offer to make him one. He's never offered to make me one.
Yeah, funny that.
And he's on the decaf.
I have to.
Were all full caffeine though yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That's the first I've tried decaf tonight. I don't usually do decaf, so I've went down that road tonight to see.
Forget Lennon Miller, Young Boys, Man United. Are there any GPs out there that want to give us a call and have a word with this guy? That's outrageous.
I'm
before midday.
Oh, four before I even get out of my bed.
Jumping about the living room.
No, I'm actually
no,
okay.
You can with it.
Yeah, I'm okay, yeah.
Remarkable, truly remarkable. Our Champions League game's on tonight. It's very difficult. I'd love to run you through like permutations and teams that Celtic might be looking out for, and there are a few, but it's obviously so much can change. That imagine what the last match day is going to look like. You know that all that as this stands, the table's going to be
fluctuating
constantly
everywhere. Yep. I don't know if that's a good result for.
I would say
Celtic,
a bad result. No? Well, Monaco have beaten Aston Villa, so does that heighten Villa's need to do
something in the
final?
Day.
Match. I mean, they were in a pretty good position anyway, but again, maybe just further evidence of what a good defensive performance Celtic put up. Atalanta have beaten Sturm Graz 5-0. You have scored for fun, really, out with the. Well, a lot of it's been domestically as well, but.
Took six of Young Boys.
So, yeah. That,
away from home.
That clean sheet is looking even better in hindsight for Celtic, but I suppose you take every game on its individual merits. It was an early goal for Monaco that was enough to do Aston Villa in that one. There are still time to squeeze some calls in if you want, although we are running out of time. Who are the six players who've played for Barcelona and either of Glasgow's big two? You've got Van Bronckhorst, both De Boers and Larsson.
When is that?
Four. Did the Crosas play for Barca?
Yeah, I think like once, maybe.
So he on it?
So that's good enough for me.
Right. Well, if he played once,
right, we'll take that.
You're a Barcelona player.
Yes. So yep. we're looking for one.
One more.
Did they go Celtic or Rangers?
Celtic. I have to say, Celtic? I'm putting this in the...
You don't think he did?
No, it's not that I don't think it did. I'm going... nearly impossible.
Nearly?
For you, no offence.
And who did he play for? Don't say Barcelona.
Celtic and Barcelona.
Celtic and Barcelona.
Yeah.
He must be a centre back.
But listen, we'll get back to it because we've got time. We've got time. What have we not discussed tonight that we need to tick off quickly? Look, we did touch on it at the start of the show. The cup draw last night, Aberdeen Dunfermline. Very nice. Jimmy Calderwood link there. Yeah. You know, after what's been really sad news. Hopefully both clubs come together and celebrate him in that one. Air United Hibs, I think it's one of the standouts for the Scott Brown factor.
Yeah,
Hibs will find that difficult.
Yeah, because it's an away tie. Because they think, you know, it's stacked for a lot of the Premiership clubs. You know, Celtic and Rangers are favourites anywhere at home against Championship opposition.
Yeah, I think that's one that you look at, that possible upset.
Wraith and Queen's Park, Dundee again, they're at home as well against lower league opposition in Airdrie, who are struggling in the league. Livy Cove. Livy will be delighted at that. And even Cove, you know, it's,
I think that'll be a tricky one.
You're looking for
I think so, yeah.
But you're looking for the draw to open up a bit for you. You know, neither of them in the Premiership. St Johnstone doing a bit better at the weekend there against the Ackies at home, and St Mirren Hearts. So there's not a lot of storylines there. That's what you always look for. There's the Scott Brown story. There's the...
It's a bit boring of a draw, isn't it? You're looking for a wee bit more excitement for me.
I mean, I think I said that at 6:05 and you disagreed. It's good to see you've got you round to my...
You've won them round.
...way of thinking. Even, you know, even if Celtic went to Wraith, there's just a bit more cup romance, as they call it, about that sort of thing. Rangers going to Queen's Park wouldn't have been quite as dramatic since they play at Hampden. But, yeah, again, even Aberdeen going to Dunfermline, you're just looking for the bigger teams to play away from home, aren't you? That's the only thing you would say. But you could look at it two ways. See if it's opened up for some teams. You'd imagine most of the favourites would go through.
I think so. St Mirren Hearts, that's an interesting one. Obviously, the two teams in the Premiership, that's a difficult one for Hearts. Difficult.
Right, what else is doing the rounds? Not much. We've spoke about Lennon Miller. That seems to be the big transfer story of the day. Hearts of... signed Austrian defender Michael Steinwender. I'm sure you've been doing your research on him.
Yeah, good player. Yeah. Likes to come out with the ball from the back.
Right, okay.
Strong.
How do you know
decent.
That? Doesn't know. Are you joking me?
Yeah, I watched him on YouTube.
Did you?
Yeah.
24-year-old centre back signed from the Swedish Top Flight.
Good
Good player. Good signing. Good addition. Hearts are needing something. They need to start climbing up that league, don't they?
They're sort of turning over a bit, though, aren't they? Yeah. Like, you look at. So Kai Rowles has left. This is like the Kai Rowles replacement. Now, I'm not saying he's brilliant. You can like him or not, but Kai Rowles plays a lot of football for Hearts.
Yep.
Liam Boyce went to Derry as well, didn't he? So, you know, they're moving out players that have been a main part of the first team squad in the first part of the season. And, you know, that doesn't always happen in January. So this is a real attempt, clearly, for whether it's the analytics to kick in at Jamestown, or Neil Critchley to put his own stamp on things, depending on what way you look at it.
I think the latter, Gordon. I think it's important the manager puts his own stamp in it.
They better be using this analytics if it's costing as much as...
Listen, there'll be a mixture there, of course, but he'll be identifying the positions that are needing strengthened, and they'll work together to try and get the best possible player in at the best possible price for Hearts. So I think Hearts will do a lot of business in this window. I still think there'll be one or two still to come in. It'll be interesting. The rest of the teams seem quite quiet, but there's not usually, for the top teams, what you're going to look at, one or two maximum coming in. More players trying to get out, you know, guy trying to get first team football, trying to get out and loan, trying to, you know, get wages off the wage bill, because Celtic Rangers are obviously the highest payers in Scottish football, so it's important for that to balance the books as well. So it's not been a exciting transfer.
Okay, right, we're nearly done on this teaser. Who are the six players who've played for Barcelona and either of Glasgow's big two? And also, we need you to send those questions in. Keep them coming. So it's fulltime@clyde1.com on the email. So far, you've got Giovanni van Bronckhorst, Frank de Boer, Ronald de Boer, Henrik Larsson, and Mark Crosas.
Was the last one a centre forward?
Listen, see the last one.
How far are we going back?
I mean, it's so tough this because you have to search high and wide to even find one Barcelona appearance.
Was he a centre forward?
He was a Mexican. That should give it away because there won't have been many of them. Played at Celtic in 2010.
Come on, Simon. Simon, you know it.
I can picture him. I can't get his name.
Yeah. Is there a manager?
Ask him his name.
Efrain Juarez.
Do you remember him?
He played for Barcelona.
I mean, there's an article here that says he did once. It's pretty tough to.
Nah, I'd never have got that.
But there you go. We'll take it. Well done. Good question. Thank you very much to Gordon. Simon, thank you for your calls. What a big midweek we have in store tomorrow. Season defining, it was called earlier on. Celtic against Young Boys. We'll also be live from Manchester. We'll have Andrew McLean down there bringing us the latest from the Rangers camp at Old Trafford. You won't want to miss it. We're also going to pick the Scottish Cup goal of the round as well. So see you tomorrow at 6:00.